Chapter 46. They had eaten worse things. The sour fungus growing on the walls of Nola Tarkona's real minds came to mind. So Jason knew it was not his sister's delicate sensibilities that kept her from choking down the tasteless pulp Alima had commandeered from their terrified Yuuzhan Vong host. Nor was it the urgency of their situation. The strike team was hiding in a one-room lodging cell on the outskirts of a domicile warren deep inside the world ship, trying to stay out of sight until Tisar reported back with news of the Queen's location. They had seen no sign of Numanor or his troops since the battle in the Grashal, when they had escaped by bringing the passage ceiling down behind them and fleeing into the heart of the world ship. Jason scooped a bowlful of pulp from a shell-like serving basin and pressed it into Jaina's hands. "I don't feel like eating either, but you need to keep up your strength." Jaina hurled the gruel against the bioluminescent wall. Their Yuuzhan Vong captive, a lowly worker who was almost attractive in her utter lack of mutilations or tattoos, cringed in the corner as though the bowl had been thrown at her. The lichen began to glow more brightly as it absorbed nutrients, and no one spoke. Jason could feel the guilt and anger tearing his sister apart, though her emotions were so intermingled with his own that he could barely distinguish them. They shared a void that would never again be whole, an emptiness that he sensed pulling at Jaina like a vacuum breach. He laid a hand on her knee, hoping his touch might serve as her anchor. "We can't give up. We still need to destroy the Queen." Jaina looked up, a faint spark of presence finally showing in her vacant eyes.
"You left him to the Yuuzhan Vong."
"We had to," Jason said, accepting the rebuke. As much as he himself was hurting, he would rather Jaina lay the blame boiling up inside her on his shoulders than her own. "They were all over him. You saw that." Jaina pushed his hand from her leg.
"He put you in charge, and you left him behind."
Jason said nothing. Though he knew his sister's own feelings of guilt were driving her to accuse him, he did not trust himself to keep an even voice.
"Jason does not deserve your blame."
Tennel Ka was sitting on the other side of the small room, her legs crossed beneath her and her posture as erect as ever.
"Everyone heard the command, and we all know why he gave it. To disregard such an order would have been to dishonor Anakin's memory and dismiss his sacrifice."
"Stay out of this, Tennel Ka," Jaina said. "You can't possibly know anything about it. You have the emotional depth of a Ronto." The speed with which Tennel Ka unfolded her legs and stepped around the low table proved how mistaken Jaina was. Jason thought for a moment the Dathomiri would slap his sister, but Tennel Ka only continued to glare, until Jaina finally grew uncomfortable and looked away. When she did, Tennel Ka said,
"We are all hurting, Jaina. Your brother, too."
It was difficult to tell from Tennel Ka's tone whether she meant the words to be conciliatory or cutting, but they caused Jaina to stand. Jason reached for Jaina's hand, but he needn't have worried. Zek was already stepping between the pair, positioning himself to intercept any blow that might be thrown.
"What's this going to help?"
Zek addressed himself more to Tennel Ka than to Jaina.
"Calm down."
Both women opened their hands, but continued to stand and stare, each waiting for the other to apologize. The room remained uncomfortable and silent. The other Jedi stared into their gruel. They were spared the necessity of a long wait by a low growl over their comlinks. Jason snatched up his own comlink.
"Tisar?"
he asked. As the strike team's stealthiest member and only natural night hunter, the Barabel had been the obvious choice to send slinking through the murky lanes of the domicile warren.
"Did you find her?"
He was answered not by the Barabel's voice, but by another low growl. It took him a moment to recognize the sound as a Shrywook word, as Wookiee voices did not carry well over comlinks.
"Louis?"
Jaina gasped, grabbing her own comlink.
"Is that you?"
Lubaka confirmed his identity with a groan, then began a long apology for allowing the tachyon flyer to be stolen.
Loe, forget it. They fooled us too, Jason said. Where are you now?
The answer Lubaka rumbled was considerably more than a location.
Why would they do that? Jason asked.
Lubaka grunted a guess.
Keep watching, Jaina said, and whatever you do, stay with him. I'll be there as soon as I can.
She snapped her comlink off, and Jason barely caught her arm before she reached the door.
What are you doing?
Going after Anakin's body. What do you think?
It was Tahiri who said this, speaking for the first time since they had fled the Grashal.
They're not taking him anywhere.
She rose and went to Jaina's side, as did Alima, and, a moment later, Zack. Jason ignored them all and continued to hold his sister's arm.
What about Anakin's last words? He asked.
He told us to destroy the Queen.
Then destroy her.
Jaina tore her arm free of his hand and slapped the tickle pad.
But I'm going back.
Not even checking to see if she would be seen, Jaina jerked her lightsaber off her belt and led the others out into the dark.